three very different but related stories in that passage. There is a story that St. Francis once got up to preach, and he looked down upon the hushed, expectant faces below and said, "God has not given me anything to say to you." And with that, he blessed the people and went away. Faced with today's readings from Ezekiel and John's Gospel, I think many preachers this morning may be wishing that they had the courage to do this as well. The story of the dry bones, the story of the raising of Lazarus, are so brilliantly and powerfully told that any commentary on them seems a bit like gilding the lily. So this morning, I'd like to start with the slightly less emotionally charged reading that we find in Paul's letter to the Romans. And actually, it provides a useful key for the other two passages we've heard this morning. Paul suggests that life is a symptom and not a cause. You're not alive, he says, because you have life in you, but because you have the Spirit of God in you. I wonder if you've ever tried playing with balloons. If you were to take a balloon out of a bag of balloons and simply hold it limp in the air and then throw it at somebody, letting it fall, well, that wouldn't be much fun, would it? Or I wonder if you've ever played with children's bubbles and you've taken the lid off the bubble mixture and held the wand in your hand and poured the bubble mixture onto the ground. It's not much fun. Or have you ever tried to play a wind instrument and you've carefully taken it out of its case and assembled it all together and laid it there on the table and expected music? If you did that, well, it's not much fun. It's much more fun, isn't it, to blow up the balloons and bounce them around the room. It's much more fun to dip the wand into the bubble mixture and fill the room with bubbles. And it's certainly more interesting and pleasing to pick up the wind instrument and blow into it or across it and make music. All of these things are much more fun if they're full of breath. And in a similar way, a life that is directed away from God is, whether it knows it or not, no life at all. It's not just that it misses the point, but as Paul says, it is actively hostile to the point. The whole purpose of creation is to mirror God's creativity and love. And so to try to live as though there is no God is to destroy the very thing for which we exist, and to drive ourselves further and further away from the source of our life, which is God. One of the things you're never quite prepared for when you begin training for ministry is the first time you're asked to lead a funeral service. Like all things, it becomes a more familiar process the more often you do it. But each and every time you hear the story of someone's life, you're reminded of how frail and limited human life really is. Give or take a few decades, it's something all of us experience. And while speaking at funerals is sadly a common aspect of parish ministry, it's not so often that our ultimate human condition is the subject of the Sunday sermon. And yet, in our gospel reading for today, death is clearly the subject. And as we read the gospel passage, we discover that death is clearly subject to Jesus. But if the point of the story is to demonstrate beyond all possible doubt who Jesus is through his mastery of the last great enemy, death, it also demonstrates that death is not negligible or cost-free, even for God incarnate. As we read this passage in John's Gospel, we begin to see that Jesus very carefully orchestrates this great miracle. He does so meticulously. He doesn't rush, as we would do, to rescue his ill friend. For he wants it to be clear beyond any possible doubt that Lazarus is dead. So that when the people see life emerging from the stench of putrefaction, they cannot deceive themselves that this was just someone reviving from a faint. And then when Martha comes out to meet Jesus, he gives her an unambiguous statement of his power. "I am the resurrection and the life," he says. And we read that Martha accepts that without hesitation. But suddenly what has seemed an unmoved, almost callous opportunity to demonstrate his power changes, and it becomes charged with human emotion. As Jesus sees Mary and her comforters crying, the reality of what has happened hits him. And even though Jesus knows that he is the resurrection and the life, the tears and the loss affect him, and he weeps. John records for us one of those extraordinary moments when we see into the heart of the paradoxical things that Christianity says about God. Jesus is here to demonstrate God's absolute power of life over death, and yet he reacts as we all do to a life cut short, to the desolation of losing someone we love and sharing the pain of others who mourn him too. And it's this Jesus, human, shaken, mourning, this Jesus who goes to Lazarus' tomb and raises him from the dead. It's not an act of calm and majestic power, but it is an act of hope that love is stronger than death. Now, of course, after the resurrection, we know that to offer this hope is the purpose of the incarnation. Paul reminds us that we have chosen death over and over again, for we have set our hearts on our own needs, as though their satisfaction could bring us life. But God offers us, in Jesus, a new way of being what we're meant to be. His children, made in his image. And what we see in the raising of Lazarus is a foretaste of that hope that is offered to all through Jesus' own death and resurrection. The hope that God will not let us go out of the circle of his love and care. As John tells the story, though, there is one more bit of irony. As Jesus goes out to demonstrate God's loving and life-giving power, he is at the same time setting the final seal on his own life and death. In going to Lazarus' home, Jesus is walking back into the full-blown hostility of the Jews. Even as they sit weeping professionally with Martha and Mary, they wait to see what Jesus will do. Will he risk coming back to visit his friend? How will he react to the death of someone he loves? Jesus' miracle and his words of liberation to Lazarus unbind him and let him go. These things lead directly to the decision to bring Jesus to his death. Lazarus' freedom and ours is bought by Jesus' imprisonment and death. We can only share in God's life because God is prepared to share in the death we chose for ourselves. Death is something that asserts that life and hope have boundaries. And these scripture verses we've heard read this morning assure us that bones rattle, souls wait, and Jesus speaks. And in each case, life, hope, and comfort find themselves unbound. There is no situation beyond God's care. Like Lazarus, of course, we will one day die. But in Christ, we will live. In each of these passages this morning, God invites you and me to trust that there are no endings that stretch beyond His boundless care. There are no endings that stretch beyond His power to redeem.